Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Habeas Relief and Unaddressed Claims Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 20, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Johnson v. Williams. The question in this case concerned federal habeas review, which requires a certain amount of federal deference to a state court's adjudication on the merits. At issue was whether a habeas petitioner's federal constitutional claim was in fact decided on the merits when the state court did not appear to address the issue in its otherwise lengthy decision. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, the court held that in such situations, there is a rebuttable presumption that the state court did in fact adjudicate the federal constitutional claim on the merits. Here, the court concluded, the presumption had not been rebutted and the petitioner was not entitled to federal habeas relief. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Kennedy, Thomas, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined Justice Alito's opinion. Justice Scalia issued an opinion concurring in the judgment. To discuss the case, we have Catherine Burnett, who is the Senior Assistant Attorney General with the Office of the Attorney General of Virginia. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Burnett.
In Johnson v. Williams, the Supreme Court unanimously reversed the Ninth Circuit in a habeas corpus case involving a California prisoner, Williams, who was convicted of first-degree murder. The case asked the question of what standard of review a federal habeas court should apply to the prisoner's claim, where the state court had denied relief on the claim under state law but did not discuss the prisoner's federal law grounds for relief on the same claim. So the question was, should the federal court defer to the state court decision, or should the federal court ignore the state court and review the claim de novo? The 1996 Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, which is known as AEDPA, mandates that a federal habeas court must defer to a reasonable state court decision if the federal claim was, quote, adjudicated on the merits, end quote. So the issue here was, what does adjudicated on the merits mean if the state court discussed the state law basis to the claim, but not the federal law basis? The Ninth Circuit held that the federal part of the claim was overlooked by the state court, so it was not adjudicated on the merits, and thus it would be reviewed de novo. The claim was that the trial court had erred in dismissing a juror during deliberations because the juror simply disagreed with the other jurors and was a holdout. The Ninth Circuit held that that violated the Sixth Amendment and granted relief as a de novo matter. Justice Alito, writing for a unanimous court, held that AEDPA sharply limits the federal court's ability to grant relief where the claim has been adjudicated on the merits, and that in Harrington v. Richter, which was decided in 2011, the court had held that even a summary decision by a state court was presumed to have been adjudicated on the merits. And so, by extension, the Richter presumption would apply here, where a state court has addressed some, but not all, of the claims. The court explained that there's no uniform practice of decision writing in state courts, and that state courts often don't even address claims, for instance, where state law is coextensive with federal law, where there's an insufficient, fleeting reference to the federal law, or where the claim is even too frivolous to address. The court held that state courts have heavy caseloads and federal courts have no authority to dictate how to write decisions. But the court then went on and rejected California's argument that the Richter presumption should be irrebuttable. The court said that you can't presume the state court considered the federal claim if, for example, the state standard was less protective than federal law, or the state standard was different from federal law, but the petitioner never pointed that out to the state court, or where, for instance, the federal claim was buried or rarely mentioned in the state papers. So the petitioner can rebut the presumption that was discussed in Richter in order to get de novo review in federal court, and the state can also rebut it to prove that the claim was waived in state court and so defaulted in federal court. The court said that on the merits means looked at the substance or considered the intrinsic rights and wrongs, not something extraneous. The court held that when evidence leads, quote, very clearly, end quote, to the conclusion that the federal claim was inadvertently overlooked in the state court, then de novo review is appropriate in the federal court. The court said that this won't be unduly burdensome, as every court to address this had already permitted this inadvertent overlooking as a rebuttal to the Richter presumption. The court then went on and looked at the evidence in this case, and it found that it was, quote, exceedingly unlikely, end quote, that the state court had overlooked the federal claim. The evidence to support that conclusion was the fact that the state law claim and the federal law claim were intertwined, and the fact that the state court had discussed in a state case other federal cases which had discussed federal law about dismissing jurors. Now, the court did note that a state court does not have to follow lower federal courts in precedent. It only has to follow the Supreme Court law, and that's in the AEDPA statute. Another fact that the court looked at was the fact that the state court had actually quoted a Supreme Court case on juror bias. And finally, the fact that the prisoner, Williams, had treated her claims interchangeably, and she never even sought rehearing in the state court on the basis that the state court had somehow overlooked her federal claim. In fact, the court noted that this inadvertent overlooking was only ever first mentioned in the Ninth Circuit by a judge during oral argument. So for those reasons, the Ninth Circuit decision had to be reversed. Now, Scalia wrote a concurring opinion where he joined only the judgment of the court. He disagreed that inadvertent overlooking could rebut the Richter presumption, and he opined that a habeas petitioner could rebut the presumption only by showing that the state court order itself stated that the court did not decide the federal claim, or that the standard practice and understanding in the jurisdiction regarding ambiguous texts was that the court did not decide the claim. Scalia explains that a judgment denying relief necessarily means adjudicated all the claims presented, and that on the merits does not mean a considered rejection, that it could be an unconsidered rejection, an inadequately considered rejection, or even an inadvertent rejection, and that on the merits just means not on procedural grounds. Justice Scalia believes that AEDPA looks at the judgment of the state court and not its reasoning, and he predicts that the court's holding will further burden federal courts with subjective inquiry into the minds of state court judges, that it will demean state courts, and that it will provide a fertile source of further litigation and delay. For example, he hypothesizes that a petitioner could come into federal court with evidence showing that the state court judge never reads any briefs at all and has his law clerks do all the work, or that a one state court appellate judge on a panel reads all the briefs and the others just sign off of it. In the final analysis, the court's decision really only resolved the issue in this one case under its particular facts. My experience is that state prisoners often change or alter their state court claims when they get to federal court, and so the decision in Johnson versus Williams will only engender more litigation whenever there is any ambiguity about whether a state court decided the claim presented to the federal judge.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.